Hey, I forgot to mention one thing a while ago during the announcements. We are taking up a special offering for the mics that we've got to replace because of the FCC regulations. I forgot to mention that. If you did not give in the regular offering with it designated for that, we'll have an opportunity at the end of the service. We're going to have our deacons stand up at the doorways where you can give towards that so we can make that purchase and get compliant with the law. All right. This is time when we release our children and volunteers to Children's Church. I want to invite you guys to head back in that direction. Those of us that are left, if you'll take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. We're looking at the life of Abram and his journey of faith. He was called to go to a place where God would lead him. He was called to follow daily in faith. He'd never been to the land he was going to, didn't have a clue what it was like, didn't know where it was, just simply to get up and when God said go, to go and to follow wherever he led him to go. And we're looking at the similarity of our own call to a journey of faith, that we're to follow God wherever he leads us to go. He says, Jesus says, when he says, if anyone wishes to come after me, if anyone wishes to be my disciple, if anyone wishes to be a follower of mine, he first must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. We're called to a journey of faith, a lifelong journey of faith, where we don't know what our life's going to be like. Now, we try and make plans, and we try and determine what we're going to do for a living and all that kind of stuff. But if we're following God, all of that is subject to change. I'm going to tell you, I never dreamed that I would be a pastor one day. I had all other plans for that. But God in His sovereignty and God in His grace has called us to a journey of faith, of growing our faith and trusting Him, learning more and more about Him, walking more and more with Him, so that the next time He tells us the next direction or the next thing He wants us to do, we have developed a faith, an understanding of Him, a relationship with Him, so that it makes it much easier to go in that different direction or to do that different thing and to trust Him that He's going to do what He said He'd do. And so we're all called to a journey of faith. And as we look at the life of Abram, the reason God put his life in the Bible as an example is because our life, our journey of faith is going to mirror his in many of the same ways. There's going to be times where we do really good, follow God, real faithful. There are going to be times when we get off out in left field somewhere, like he did when he went down to Egypt. Sometimes when we're going to do really good in trusting God and doing what God wants to do, and sometimes we're going to fail miserably. How do we deal with those things? A journey of faith is not a life of perfection. And we see in Abram this struggle with self and with God. And doing what I think is best and trusting God for what's best. And in like any journey, any time we travel, there are going to be times where it gets very frustrating. I'm reminded when I was a kid, we'd go down to my grandparents' house. Wasn't but about an hour and 15-minute drive. Really wasn't that far. But it seemed like forever when you're about 5 years old. And you get in and you get going, and we finally make it that 10 miles to the interstate. And you think, oh, God, it's been forever. Mom, when are we going to be there? Mom, when are we going to get there? Are we there yet? You know, and Mom, like Mom said, if you ask me that again, you know, well, then I get to be an adult. And I've got my own kids. We're traveling from Arkansas to Mississippi, about an 8-hour drive, a little bit further, about 2 hours in. Dad, are we there yet? Oh, it's been so long. When are we going to get there? You know, so we get really frustrated when we feel like that the journey's not getting where we want it to be as fast as we want it to. That's true spiritually. There have been times in my life that I'm trying to follow God and I'm doing what He wants me to do, but circumstances aren't working out like I thought they should, or God wasn't doing what I thought He should when I thought He should, or I'm not getting to where I feel like He wants me to go as fast as I think I should. Sometimes I get spiritually frustrated. Have you ever been there? It's okay. God's bigger than our frustration. I want you to see that Abram had the same problem. He was struggling. He had just came off of this great victory where he and two other guys have gone out and they've defeated four kings that had defeated five other kings that were just taking over everything and had captured Lot with Sodom and Gomorrah and all the goods and everything. And Abram went out and he rescued all the people and all the goods and brought them back. And he had just met the priest of God Most High, Melchizedek, and he had just worshiped the Lord with him and tithed part of what he had gotten back to Melchizedek. I mean, just a great spiritual time. And God is giving him an attaboy. But Abram is frustrated. Abram is struggling right now. He's been doing what God wants him to do. God has been blessing him in so many ways, but he's not kept his promise yet. And Abram is getting weary. Abram is getting frustrated. And I want us to see, how do you deal with that frustration? What do you do when on your faith journey, you start getting frustrated with how things are going? Not necessarily with yourself, because you're doing pretty good, but God's not doing what you think God ought to do when He ought to do it. You know God has given you a promise. God has given you a goal. God has given you something that He wants you to accomplish, and you're striving towards it. You're trying to be faithful, and you're going after it, but it's just not happened yet, and you just want to say, God, are we there yet? I'm tired of this journey. I'm ready to get to a location. I'm ready to get to a point that you've been saying is coming. I'm ready to experience you coming through like you said you were going to come through. I'm struggling here. It's exactly where Abram is. So if you would, find Genesis chapter 15. And if you're able, stand up with me as we're going to read some of the verses and see how Abram deals with his frustration, but more importantly, how God responds. This is after these things, after he had just won this great victory and brought all the possessions back. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. So God lets him see a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." And Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me, since I'm childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar, of Damascus. And Abram said, "Since you've given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir." And he took him outside and said, "Look now toward the heavens, and count the stars, and if you're able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Then he believed the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess it." And he said, "O Lord God, how may I know that I will possess it?" So he said to him, "Bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." And then he brought all these to him, and he cut them in two and laid them half opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds. And the birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, and Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. God said to Abram, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come up out of with many possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you will be buried in a good old age. Then in the fourth generation they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete." You may be seated. So Abram is being very faithful. Abram has just experienced a great victory, figuratively and spiritually. God has provided. God has sent him and just his 350 men that were trained for war and the two guys and what few men they had against four kings that had just whipped half a dozen other kingdoms or more. And he goes out and he wins this great victory and he retrieves Lot and he retrieves all the goods and he gives them back. And man, everything is going good. God is being faithful. God is blessing him. Up to this point, we've read all the way through the story of Abram, how God has given him many possessions. He's given him many flocks and he's given him many servants and he's given him much gold and silver. And God has been blessing him in all kinds of ways. But the one thing that Abram lacked, the one thing that God promised, the one thing that he was looking forward to the most, 10 years in, nothing. We go back to Genesis 11 and 12, the end of 11 and beginning of chapter 12, we saw the call of Abram. He was 75 years old when he left Haran and came into to the land of Canaan. And began his journey following God. He was 75. It's been almost 10 years. He's now about 85 years old. 10 years of following God. 10 years of traveling. At this point, he's made over 1,000 miles of walking. Taking sheep, family, and following God wherever he said go. He has been faithful. God has been faithful. God has been good to him. God has blessed him with all kind of stuff. But even though God has been so good, even though God has blessed him, even though he has just given him this great victory and he's retrieved his family and he is the bomb in everybody's eyes right now, he's still frustrated. Spiritually, he's struggling. God comes to him, and man, who wouldn't want a vision from God that says, "That a boy, you're doing good." I mean, I've had a lot of dreams before. I've never had one of those. But God comes to him in a vision. And he tells him, "Abram, you're doing great." He says, "Do not fear, Abram." What's Abram got to fear? Well, the repercussions of the kings that might come back and try and defeat him again when he's not expecting it. There's all kinds of things that could happen. He says, "Don't fear. I'm a shield to you. And your reward shall be very great." And who wouldn't want to hear from God like that? You're doing good. God's blessing you. But he says, "I'm not done yet. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to provide you. You are doing awesome, son." And what's Abram's response? "God, what can you give me since I don't have a son? I'm 85 years old. You promised me 10 years ago that I was going to have an heir. I was going to have a son. And he was going to be a blessing to the nations. And he was going to become as numerous as the stars of the sky and as numerous as the sands of the seashore. I'm 85 years old. Sarah's 75 and nothing yet. So what do I need more stuff for? Why do I need more flocks? I'm about to die. Why do I need more gold? I've got more than I can spend now. God, you've given me all this stuff, but you haven't given me the one thing that you promised the most. You hadn't given me the most important. God, I'm struggling here. I don't care about this stuff. I want a son." Can you feel him? Can you hear the frustration in his heart? I mean, he cries out to God, "Oh, Lord God, what can you give me since I'm childless? All of this means nothing without someone to give it to. All of this means nothing without the promised descendant that will become this great nation. Everything you've promised is hinging upon this one kid. And I'm 85. No son. So everything I own, God, everything you've given me is going to go to this cat named Eleazar from Damascus. A servant. And that was the culture back then. If you didn't have a son to be the heir, the oldest male or the prominent male servant would become the heir of everything you own. Your name died with him. I mean, died with you. He got rich. Woohoo! Big deal. And so Abram is really struggling. He's frustrated. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt like God has promised, God has given you this direction, God has given you this purpose, God has given you this vision, God has given you this desire in your heart, and you've been faithful to follow him, you've been trying to do it. Now I'm just going to tell you, as a pastor? Yeah. And I know God wants us to reach our community, and we're working like crazy to do that, but man, sometimes I just get frustrated because, God, where are the people at? Where are the souls being saved? God, I'm struggling with, I know that you want us to do this. I know you want us to get outside the four walls. I know you want us to invest in people. I know you want us to share the gospel. I know you want us to do all these things. But God, where are the souls? I'm just going to be honest with you. I struggle personally. And there have been times in my life as I'm trying to follow God and our family's trying to follow God, and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God wants us to leave this place and go to this place. But I'm just going to tell you, if you've ever moved much, I'm not talking about just a little bit here in town, but if you've ever moved from state to state and distance to distance, you always lose when you move. Always. Financially, it's a struggle. It's a hardship. It's a hardship on your kids. They've got to leave friends. They've got to try and make new friends. My wife has got to try and fit into a new church. She's got to try and make friends of a new group of people, knowing that one day we're probably going to leave them too. And it's a struggle. Because you're trying to follow God, you're trying to do the right thing, but then you just don't feel like you're experiencing what God says you're supposed to experience as a follower of Him, as a pastor. It's a struggle. I'm just being honest. Can you be honest that sometimes you struggle? That you just don't feel like God is making things happen as quick as you think they should, or getting you to the place where you thought you'd be by now? Maybe it's in your finances. Maybe it's in your job. And you're saying, God, I'm trying to be faithful. God, I'm trying to work at it, but Lord, I just don't see the results. I'm blessed in all kinds of ways, God, and I do appreciate all that, but this one thing that you've put on my heart isn't happening yet. And so, oftentimes, when that happens, we start telling God about it. And then we start feeling guilty because we're complaining. God, you blessed me in all these kind of ways, and now I'm complaining over this one thing. I'm so stupid. But you know, that's not what God wants you to feel. Notice that when God responded to Abraham and was giving him this great praise and giving him this great assurance and giving him this big pat on the back, and he began to complain to God, God did not get mad. See, God wants to hear your frustrations. God wants you to be honest with Him. See, for so long we've told people that God, you can't question God and you can't complain to God. If you question God, you don't have faith. If you complain to God, you're just being ungrateful. That's not true. When we're following God and we're struggling spiritually, He wants to hear about it. We need to be honest with Him. Abram was honest with his frustration. Abram was honest, said, God, you've given me all kinds of stuff. God, you've blessed me. I don't need more stuff. What I really want is a son. You promised a lot of stuff, and you've given all of it, but you've left out the most important. I'm still longing for a son. For your promise to work out, I got to have a son. I'm 85. Sarah 75. Now, given they did live a lot longer back then, but still 85 is 85. And hear God's heart. Listen to what God said as He responded to Abram. Verse 4 says, then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this man will not be your heir. Notice he didn't fuss at him. He wasn't mad at him. He just simply stated the truth. Okay, I want to remind you of who you're talking to. I am the God who is faithful. I'm the God who is able. And so he reminds him of the truth. This man will not be your heir, but one will come forth from your own body. He shall be your heir. So God just simply restates the truth. Now, what is God doing here? He's refocusing Abraham from the blessing to the blesser. See, too often we get focused on what God, we think God has promised us, and what we feel like God has put in our heart to seek after, and we're seeking the blessing, we're seeking the promise more than the blesser or the promiser. God says, don't focus on the time, don't focus on the journey, focus on the one you're following. Focus on the fact that I am faithful. Focus on the fact that I am able. Focus on the fact that I can do all things. And your circumstances really don't matter. Abram, it don't matter that you're 85. You just keep following. It doesn't matter that your wife is 75. You just keep following. Quit worrying about the circumstances and keep focused on the one you're following. Man, when I came to that understanding, there was such a peace that began to develop in my life. Such a faith began to develop that look, it's not about the promise, it's about the one that promised. It's not about the blessing, it's about the one who is able to bless. So my circumstances have got nothing to do with whether it can happen or not. Because everything about Abram's circumstances was against what God had promised. Everything about Abram's circumstances were not lining up logically with the promise of God. And he was focusing on the circumstances. He was focusing on his age. He was focusing on the years. He was focusing on the time. And he was basically crying out to God, are we there yet? Okay, God, we've been on this ride for 10 years. Are we there yet? I'm getting a little anxious here. Are we there yet? God says, quit focusing on the destination. And just focus on following. Focus on following. What's my next step of obedience? And I think that's a good word for us today. On this journey of faith, yeah, God says one day he's going to lead us to maturity. God said one day he's going to lead us to heaven. God says in whatever God has given you, the purpose of your life or the vision he's given you for the ministry that he has for you or the people that you feel like God wants you to reach and the difference that you feel like God wants you to make in the kingdom. And we all know God wants us personally to make a difference for the kingdom of God. And sometimes it seems like we're not really doing it. It doesn't seem like there's any fruit happening or developing, or we don't see the difference that we feel like we should be making, and we should see the results of all the efforts that we're putting in. And God says, look, quit worrying about the fruit. You just keep taking one faithful step at a time. Focus on me. Just follow me. And trust that in my time and in my way, I will do what I promised I would do. I'm going to tell you that takes so much pressure off. So God reminds Abram, look, my promise hadn't changed. You're still going to have a son. One that comes from your body will be the heir of everything I've blessed you with. I'm going to keep my word. So quit focusing on the timing, quit focusing on the circumstances, and you just keep following. And sometimes that's what God says to us. You just keep following. Because if you read on, if you jump ahead, you see when Sarah became pregnant, it says, in the time that God promised. A little bit later on, God meets Abram and said, hey, within a year, Sarah's going to be pregnant and you're going to have a son. So God's faithful, but he's got some things that we've got to accomplish. He's got some things he's got to teach us, some things that he's got to show us, some things that he wants us to do before the time is right. What was it about Jesus? Paul says that in the right time, God sent forth his son. See, God's timing and our timing is not the same. My timing and the travel time to get my grandparents wasn't the same. I wanted it to be 10 minutes instead of an hour and 15. God says, look, we got a long journey here. This is lifelong. And it's just taking one step at a time. One step at a time. Keep trusting me. And when the time's right, I'll do what I said I'd do. You'll see what I said you'd see. And sometimes you're not meant to see all of it. Look at what he says. Verse 5 says, he took him outside and said, "Now look towards the heavens and count the stars, if you're able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Then he believed the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. At that moment, God didn't change the promise. God didn't do anything. He just simply restated the truth. He restated what he had told him before. You're going to have a son, and your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars of the heaven, as numerous as the grains of sand on the seashore. If you can count the stars in the heaven, you'll be able to count your descendants. If you're able to count the sand on the seashore, you'll be able to count your descendants. He just simply restated the promise. So what was the difference? Abraham believed and he counted it to him righteous. And why did he believe? Because God just simply told him again. Sometimes God just tells us again, "Look, my plans for you hadn't changed. Your vision for what I have for you hadn't changed. You just keep being faithful." That's exactly what he told Abraham. It's exactly what he told me at the age of 30 when he got hold of my heart and said, "Look, I wanted you as a teenager to be in the ministry. You ran from me. My plans for you have not changed." And he stated again, "Follow me." And he's been faithful every step of the way. I don't know what 10 years has from now. You don't either. But what I do know is the one who promised is able. The one who is in control leads. And so all we've got to do is stay focused on him. And one day at a time, one step at a time, what's my next step of obedience? What is the next thing you want me to do, God? How do you want me to honor you in this circumstance? And then trust that he's going to keep his word because he's been faithful in the past. That's what he tells Abraham. "I've been faithful to you all along. My plans for you hadn't changed. You just keep being faithful." But he tells him, it's not something that you'll see. He said, "O Lord God, how may I know that I will possess it?" And so God said to him, "Bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Then he brought them to him and cut them in two, and he laid each of them half opposite each other. So he split them in half and laid their opposites or their halves opposite of each other. But he did not cut the birds, and the birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, and Abraham drove them away. So he says, "Take some of the stuff that I've given you." Now, if you know anything about animals, a three-year-old heifer is right in the prime. That's the one you want. And he says, "Bring the best, split them in half, offer them, and lay them out here." Doesn't make much sense, does it? Okay, split them in half, lay them out there. And all day long, Abraham's waiting. Buzzards come to pick the carcasses. He chases them off, and he sits back down. Buzzards circle for a while. They start trying to land. He chases them off, and he sets back down. All day long, he's fighting the birds of prey, fighting the ones that are trying to take away the offering, and he sets down. It says, when the sun was going down, had his vision at night because he told him outside, "Go out and look at the stars." All day long, he fights off the birds of prey. All day long, he's sitting there doing something that seemed so futile. And when the sun was going down, it says deep sleep fell on him, and fear and trembling came upon him. It wasn't a warm fuzzy. God was fixing to meet with him. And it says that when that happened, God said to Abraham, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that's not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. That's a good future, isn't it? But I will... also judge the nations whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you will be buried at a good old age. Then in the fourth generation after your death, they will return here, for their iniquity of the Amorite has not yet been completed." He says, "Look, I've got plans bigger than you. You just be faithful and quit focusing on just you." He was doing what seemed to be futile all day long, fighting off the birds of prey, waiting for God, fighting off the birds of prey from his worship sacrifice, fighting off the birds of prey from his worship sacrifice. He wanted to steal his means of worship. And oftentimes that's what frustration is. It's the devil trying to steal your worship. and you're getting frustrated, and it seems like you're for a long time you're just fighting off the birds of prey. You're fighting off all the negativity. You're fighting off the frustration, waiting on God and wondering, and it seems so futile. God, when are you going to show up? I'm tired of fighting these buzzards. Sometimes we just got to fight the spiritual buzzards for a while. And understand that what God is doing in us is bigger than just us. He says, look, it's going to be 400 years before the nation of Israel is born. It's going to be 400 years before my promise to you really begins to be fulfilled. And it's not just that I'm going to provide a nation. It says they're going to go in slavery. And they're going to come out with great possessions. And I'm going to judge the nation of Egypt. I'm going to judge the people of this land through Israel. It's bigger than you. My plans aren't just about you and a kid. It's generations from now that I'm working towards. But right now, you just keep fighting off the buzzards. And so you don't know what God has for you. And in your obedience, it may not be anything that you realize in your lifetime. It says, Abraham, you're going to die at an old age. You're going to die in peace. But you're not going to die seeing the fulfillment of the promise. So quit worrying about the promise. You just keep following. And for the rest of your life, it's going to seem like you're fighting off the buzzards. But in my time, the promise is going to become real. 400 years from now, the people are going to come out of bondage. They're going to be a nation. I'm going to judge the nation that took them into bondage. I'm going to judge the people of Canaan through them. But the sins of the Amorite are not complete yet. Now, does that mean there's just a certain number amount of sin you've got to have before God judges you? No. He says, I'm giving them 400 more years to repent. At the end of 400 years, I'm going to judge them. He talks about the patience of God. So you just keep honoring God. You keep following God. You keep fighting the buzzards. Because it may be four generations from now that God's going to let your vision bring fruit. It may be four generations from now before He raises up that preacher or that woman of God that impacts a community. It may be years from now. In the middle of the hardest times of the world, that the fruit of your faithfulness shows up. It's not about the promise. It's not about the destination. It's about the journey. Focus on your next step of obedience. Pray, give God all the glory for what He's done, but also voice your frustrations. God's okay with that. And then focus, hear Him telling you, just keep focusing on faithfulness. Keep focusing. Fight the buzzards. And I'm going to do what I said I would do in my time. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, you're a spiritual person, but you're not on the journey of faith. It begins with coming to Jesus. As we read through the Old Testament and even in the New, we can't deal with our sin. Isaiah says our sin is as filthy rags. It restates that later on in Hebrews. Paul says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that none of us are righteous, no, not one. So there's an issue that we have that we can't deal with. It can only be dealt with through the blood of Jesus. God provided for that also. So your faith journey begins with coming to Jesus in faith, saying, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've made a mess of my life. I know my life may seem to be going well, but I know there's a lot missing. And so God, I confess my sin. I repent of my sin, and I just want to submit my life to You under Your authority, and I want to live for You because I believe You promised heaven and You promised purpose today. Faith journey begins with not having spiritual faults. Faith journey begins with surrendering your life. Then you walk with Him every day, praying, God, what's the next step of obedience? What's the next step of obedience? I'm trusting You, God, to do what You said You'd do And in your time, you're going to make this work out. In your time, you're going to bring the fruit of the harvest. But God, right now, I just want to be obedient. What's my next step of obedience? Help me fight the buzzards today, God. Maybe that's where you are. Help me fight the buzzards today. I'm just going to keep fighting them until you show up. It says that at the end of the day, and after he told him what he was going to do later on in the future, it says that an oven and a torch appeared and passed between the halves. And God made a covenant with Abraham about his son. God showed up. God promised. And God gave evidence that he's going to keep his promise. He'll do the same for you. He'll do the same for you. He's bigger than your frustrations. He's bigger than your questions. Express them. And then trust him. And follow in faith. Let's stand.